a bolt cutter. We love to break in, to claim all the spaces they forgot they had taken. And all this is ours, it's gonna be what we make it. If only the stars were close enough, we would paint them. She gave me a bolt cutter. We love to break in, to claim all the spaces they forgot they had taken. And all this is ours, it's gonna be what we make it. If only the stars were close enough.
Today is Wednesday, December 7th, 2011. I'm your host, Patrick, from Soldiers for the Cause, www.soldiersforthecause.org. I had the opportunity to interview Corey Ogilvy of Ogilvy Film today. Corey is an award-winning director, editor, and producer who created the popular short film, I Am Not Moving. Corey was nominated for the 2011 Leo Awards in four categories, including Best Cinematography, Best Direction, Best Documentary, and Best Picture Editing. He is currently working on Occupy the Movie, which aims to cover the whole first year of the Occupy Wall Street movement. So, with no further ado, let's get started. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Patrick.
We really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to do this with us. So, how long have you been working as a cinematographer?
7 years now. I got my degree at UBC here in Vancouver in sociology. So I was very interested in social issues and activism. I studied it on a theoretical level quite thoroughly. And basically when I finished, I had this degree in my head and I asked myself, do you want to be an analyst or do you want to be a creator and, you know, more creative role? And so I did a total 180 career turn and pursued film.
How much time have you spent there down at Occupy, do you think?
Oh, well, it's been about a week for myself. I've had a producer who's working with me as well. He's been down there. Our whole approach right now is sort of either approaching people who have filmed down there already or hiring people to film for us. Because the crazy thing with this movement is it's so dynamic and it's so across the country that for anybody to attempt to film it, you know, as a singular entity to try to film the Occupy movement would be extremely futile. So it's really made us sort of change, you know, our tactics when it comes to how to approach making a movie, because in these early phases anyway, it's very dynamic because you got to sort of, you know, make your connections in the different cities and just follow that way.
From your personal experience moving down there, what's really inspired you?
Well, I think, for me, it's the direct democracy component, really, and how different that approach is to the current government that is in the U.S. I think it's rough, it's complex, it's diverse, you have a lot of different opinions, and watching that, it's sort of, for me, that was the strange moment, because that's how I imagined the founders of America to be when they were arguing over the Constitution, right? And when they were arguing over what rules to make. And I'm sure it wasn't a perfect, harmonious, bureaucratic, peaceful process. It was a very, you know, rough, gritty, people yelling, people ambitious, people forgiving, accusing, all of these things that make us a dynamic people. I think that's what you can see down there in a microcosm.
You created the documentary I Am Not Moving. It's had, what, more than a million views in a couple, 2 months? What gave you the idea to create the video? How'd you go about getting that set up and started?
Sure, yeah, that was the result of me, every day I was just watching what was going on. Since September 17th, when the first sort of Occupy Wall Street event happened. And for myself, I just tuned in, you know, and I was really, really tuned in on social media, and I just started to put together this picture, and I was like, right away, the hypocrisy just blew me away when I was like, okay, I can't believe that they're like using, you know, weapons grade pepper spray on women in caged pens, you know what I mean? Like in these orange cages. And it just, the absurdity of it just blew me away. And I was really amazed. I expected a lot of people to come out with this sort of argument that I came out with in the film, but nobody really did. It was strange. I was waiting for there to be, you know, extensive, like 60 minutes to do a, you know, a story on it or whatever, just to juxtapose, you know, how we talk about the Middle Eastern dictatorships and then how we act like them ourselves. So anyway, that's what, for me, it was just by being immersed in the movement. Also, you know, like everybody, I followed Egypt, and I think you probably thought it as well, like, oh my God, this is the first revolution I've authentically seen in my generation. And by following Egypt, for me, it made me see the world differently. And that's really why, like, Egypt is what made me want to follow Occupy Wall Street, because I said to myself, you know, they could start pushing some serious buttons. I do want to note, I think one really, and I was interviewed before about I Am Not Moving, and it was a point that I didn't get to make. And a lot of people, anybody who's a critic of I Am Not Moving as a film, they rightly point out, you know, how can you compare Egypt and America, right? How can you compare? Because in Egypt, they're getting shot, they're getting run over by vans. And you know, what's interesting is I never thought of this rebuttal, but, and that's totally true. The grade of repression in the Middle East is much greater. But one thing nobody ever asks is, but in Egypt, if you look at the protesters there, they are not shouting, this is a peaceful protest. They are hurling 10-pound stones off of highways down onto police officers. So one interesting thing with Egypt is Egypt did turn violent. And nobody really realizes that comparison, that in America, the protesters are nonviolent. They have taken every ounce of violence that's been thrown at them, and they have never thrown a rock back. They have never, you know, tried to take over a police car, burn a car, anything like that. And so that's my rebuttal, is like, well, if you're going to compare the police, if you compare the protesters, the ones in America are angels compared to the ones in the Middle East. So
can you tell us, I actually just learned about your movie yesterday, you know, Occupy the Movie. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. It was born out of I Am Not Moving, for sure. You know, the popularity of that short film, for me as an artist, said, okay, Corey, you know, you can talk to people on a level that maybe not too many other people can talk to them on. And so from that, I sort of started saying, okay, well, if I just take the same approach that I took to that short film, but apply it in a full length manner, you know what I mean? It's a good bet. I think for me, you know, just as a filmmaker, you got to keep two things in mind. One, is the movie going to be good? But two, are people going to want to watch it? Because, you know, like, you have to be, you have to have a certain amount of people watch it in order to make it viable to even make the film in the first place, right? And I think I can. I really do think that this is complete destiny for me. Like, I studied social movements. I've done a film before on the peace movement, the anti-war movement, but it was my first documentary, so it was more of an experimental, you know, sort of student film. But yeah, all the pieces just lined up, you know, and it just sort of, it was just a big arrow that said, you know, this will be my fourth full-length documentary in 6 years. So I'm definitely, you know, experienced, and I'll be able to, you know, execute it.
You have a goal of raising $75,000 by February of 2012. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's our basically our pre-production or production goal. With Indigo, it's a crowdfunding application. And, you know, for me, it was a really simple logic. You know, I want to deliver this film directly to the 99%, to the people. I don't want to go through a big distributor. I don't want to have to go through iTunes or, you know, I'd rather just go straight to them. And all that being said, you know, it's so funny, but it's like, if $10 from everybody who visited our page, you know, would completely fund an independent film, it would, you know, keep us from having to go to corporate interests or single large sum investors or banks, you know, that's the big thing. And because with banks, you get lots of strings attached, lots of bureaucratic hassle, you know, I don't have to go on about it. And I think we're sort of on track. We have a lot of people who are interested in helping us make it happen. So
that's cool. How many people do you have working with you on the movie?
Right now it's myself and Andrew. We just lined up a shooter in New York who's going to be sort of our eyes and ears in New York. So, and then we have we're sort of doing a side project, a social media research project that's based around Occupy. And so we're going to have three researchers who come on our team as well. And it's really cool because their sort of goal, you know, the film Occupy the Movie, our goal with it is to document the first year of the Occupy movement. So we've set a limit for ourselves, right? We're not claiming that we're going to make the ultimate Occupy movie for all time, because this could go for another 10 years, mm-hmm. right? So the hard thing is making sure you don't miss a beat over that 1 year, you know, because there's so much happening in so many cities that you really have to keep your eyes open. And so we're going to have a research team that really helps us keep our finger on the pulse of the movement. So
do you plan on sending or getting film from other occupations around the United States for this too? It won't be just Occupy Wall Street?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, we're going to be, New York was our first acquisition for talent, but we're going to be, you know, we're going to be open-minded. You know, you got to be careful because, you know, you could film 100 cities every day and get interesting footage. It's just not viable. But yeah, we're going to look for good coverage at all the main cities. So right now we're thinking New York, DC, LA, Seattle, Portland, and then of course things around there. So it's more about getting the highlighting the monumental moments, if you will. So, mm-hmm. you know, like the 3 month anniversary that's coming up, or the port blockade that's coming up, or the Occupy Your Homes. It's so interesting, isn't it? Like just all these tactics and maneuvers.
Taking over the foreclosed homes is one of the coolest ideas I think I've seen so far.
Absolutely.
It's great that
it's just silly when you think about it. Like it is, it just goes against all human intuition that you'd have people who are homeless and empty, boarded up, fully functional homes. You know, like it's just the idea blows me away.
Do you plan to release any more short videos pertaining to the Occupy Wall Street movie while you're working on Occupy the movie?
Absolutely. The two are completely interconnected. And so, you know, we really do ask, when we do ask people for help, whether it's $10 or $30, whatever it is, they should know that they're not only helping us make that end movie product, but it's also going to enable us to make these shorts as we go. The whole approach that I'm taking right now is I'm approaching the Occupy movement as a series of short films, right? For the first year, anything that inspires me, I'm going to act on it and make a film about it. And then at the end, sort of tie that together with other aspects that we're going to film, you know, and hopefully at the end we'll have, let's just say if we have 80 minutes worth of short films, right? That's almost a full-length movie there. Of course, we'd have to trim things down. And so definitely stay tuned. We're my whole next year of my life is completely 100%. Every day I wake up, it's dedicated to the Occupy movement.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, I know I've heard nothing but good things about from everyone that's seen all your videos.
Great.
So social media, I'm guessing, is your main outlet for advertising and that kind of stuff. Do you do advertising in any sort of other newspapers or other online media besides, you know, Facebook and Twitter?
Yeah, I think up until the release of the film, it'll be almost entirely social media. And then once the film is released, we'll look to deploy other avenues, you know, whether it be magazine, other online avenues. But again, our whole approach here, and I think this is really important, it's a holistic thing. Like for us, you know, we're making the film for the people, we're making it about the people, we are the people ourselves, and it just seems silly that we have to rely on these big banks, for example, to fund it. But even at the point when we are ready to sell the film and to show it to the public, at that point, yeah, we're not going to be going, you know, whether or not it gets picked up by a big distributor after the fact, we are going to bring it directly to the people ourselves. Okay. So we'll have you know, online streaming. There might be a Netflix and an iTunes thing, but it's all going to be online, because with documentaries, you know, I think people, they can buy a DVD and a Blu-ray, but a lot more people are just consumed, like to just watch it once online. You know what I mean? And then that's it. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm one of those people. I can't sit down in front of the couch anymore. It seems like I have to be on my computer. So
yeah,
you know, watch a video on one screen and work on the other.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're Occupy the movie you're planning on doing for the first year of the occupation. If you could see if there was one short-term goal, we'll say, you know, for the one-year mark, is what would be the, you know, your, the one goal you'd like to see come out of Wall Street in the next year?
That's a great, you mean like sort of accomplishments from the Occupy movement?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and number one, end corporate personhood. Number two, reinstate Glass-Steagall Act. Number three, I know there was three big ones. And the thing is with these, number three would be either to end or to basically absorb the Federal Reserve. Because the fact that the Federal Reserve is an independently owned bank that runs American monetary policy is, I can't believe you that Americans can wake up every day knowing that and just think everything's going to be fine. Like, it blows me away. So I sincerely hope that looks like that's going to happen. There's a lot more politicians now in Congress are starting to speak up against the Federal Reserve. So I you know what, right? And this is the thing, you guys, like, I think this should be done tomorrow because the far right wing wants to end the Federal Reserve. And a lot of the left wing does now too, you know, so it's not like this is a partisan issue.
Yeah, I think at least an audit of the Federal Reserve would root out most corruption.
Well, it would, but I really think, you know, I hear that, and I really want to caution against just an audit because two things can happen. One, they can give faulty information, so the audit can just get, you know, frauded. But number two, sometimes an audit is, you know, obviously we'll see where it goes, but they've already proven $26 billion of secret loans, or trillion, sorry, of secret loans. Like, how much more audit do you need before you know what I mean, before it's like, okay, we need to take the next step. Let me just point one more thing though that I really, and I think it's really pertains to you and all of your relevant organizations, and this is a development that I think is crucial, and this isn't so much an accomplishment of the Occupy movement, but it's a sort of supplementary development that could really help, and it is the Army and the police. I've been hearing a lot more now, but they're thinking about calling in the military to help repress some of the dissent. A lot of us, you know, there's a lot of, you know, crazy theories going around right now, and who knows, right? But all I'm saying is that if the Army was called in to repress its own citizens, and if the Army said no, that's a complete game changer. Everything will be different after that, because Occupy will be 1,000 times more powerful. That's what happened in Egypt, and that's what ended Mubarak in Egypt, is when the Army said one word, no. So that's what I really think could be a big game changer.
You're obviously busy. Do you have any hobbies? Do you have free time for hobbies at all?
Oh, yeah. Well, film is my hobby. I'm really lucky. My work is my hobby. I got a couple dogs, and we play a lot. I exercise. I do... I love photography. It's definitely one of my big things. But up here in Vancouver right now, is we get about, it gets dark at about 4:30, and I'm a night owl, so I only get about 4 hours of daylight. So I'm very in November in Vancouver. It's sort of in the winter. It's a cultural thing up here. Everybody just sort of hibernates, you know. We try to go down to Arizona or LA, you know, or California if we can. But so it's beautiful timing again for me because I'm perfectly happy to just hibernate and work at the computer for the next few months, you know. So we are planning to do shoots in the spring and in the summer. That's when we're going to basically travel, you know, extensively with our gear and get interviews. You know, we still haven't really hit that phase yet, but that's a big part of the film, is sort of the classical documentary form, right, where you get interviews and people talking, and you shoot experts and leaders of the movement. That's my favorite part, and I haven't done any of that yet. So there's a lot to see still that people haven't seen.
So do you have who do you look up to in the filmmaking industry? Do you have favorite directors or favorite films that kind of inspire you to with the work you do?
Sure. Yeah, I think there's a film called Let's Make Money. Yeah, and I'm really ashamed to say I've only seen it once. I saw it just a few days ago, and I don't remember the director's name. He's an Austrian director. But that film, for me, completely changed how I saw the documentary. You know, and that's why, like, for me anyway, he's just one that sticks out in me. It's a very artistic film. You know, it's not like a Michael Moore or an Inside Job movie where it's very narrated and very easy to follow. There's some more abstract parts to it, but it's a groundbreaking movie, and it got into Sundance Film Festival, so it's definitely one of the premier films from last year. But I definitely suggest it for anyone to watch. That would be it. I think my style differs a lot from Michael Moore, and from the Inside Job director. I forget what his name is. It just in the sense that I think they both come at things as, it seemed to me in both films that they were approached as left-wing American filmmakers, and I think it's great. I think opinion is important, but I do think that you miss things when you come in from an angle. You know, and I'm not saying I'm free of an angle, but one of my approaches, I think you can see in my work, is that I sort of let the characters do the work themselves. You know,
true.
I don't want to narrate something to make a guy look bad. I want him to make him look bad. So that's what I think you can expect from our film, is it's very different from anything else you've seen. Is we really want the subjects to push the film and to carry it, to speak for themselves.
Do you now, when you, with the work you've done so far with the Occupy Wall Street movement, have you had a lot of interaction with any veterans? Like when you start doing the documentary parts of your film, do you plan on interviewing people like Sergeant, you know, Shamar Thomas or anyone like that?
Absolutely. And whether or not I interview them or feature them while they're actually in the action, that's really what comes down to: budget constraint, time constraint. But for sure for me, because again, I think the police and the army right now are the two big question marks, and that's really what we need to be watching carefully, because they can go either way. I think right now is they can get worse, or they can say, you know what, we're not going to push down our cousins and brothers and sisters anymore for expressing their First Amendment right. We're not doing it anymore. So that for me is, I think, really crucial stuff. And I might follow up with you, because I'm not in interview mode right now, so I'm not going to ask you anything yet, but come, you know, the spring, I'm going to be in that mode, and I'll definitely maybe contact you and ask you for suggestions or, to, you know, anything like that, if you wouldn't mind.
Not at all. Anything, you know, anything we can do to help out. We've got a lot of respect for all the work you've done, and, you know, for all the work that I think everyone in the movement's done.
Yeah.
It's great to see all the inspiration that people have.
Yeah.
I guess that's about all I got. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, occupythemovie.com. I'll plug our website. I think, you know, I really hope people visit and follow. They can sign on to our email news list, because we have about at least 3 to 6 more shorts that we're going to release over the next year, right? And they're all going to lead up to the film. So it's sort of like a short film series that we're doing. So yeah, just stay tuned. And like I say, for me, I want my work to speak for itself. And I think as long as you guys keep watching, you'll see where we go.
Well, Corey, thanks again for the interview. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Make sure to check out the website for Corey's upcoming film called Occupy the Movie. The website is www.occupythemovie.com, or find him on Facebook at www.facebook.com/occupythemovie. That's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening. Stay strong, stay motivated, and stay peaceful.
My girl gave me a bowl cutter. We love to break it. Claim all the spaces.